This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to another edition of the Spurs Chat podcast. I thought these days were over when we would be talking about heavy defeats like this, I must say. In this edition, we will be talking about the game at St James's Park, Newcastle United 4, Tottenham Hotspur 0. We are live on YouTube, we are live on Facebook and also X, so please give us your thoughts on today's game. I can see the comments section going absolutely mad already. Of course, Newcastle 4, Spurs 0. Alexander Isak putting Newcastle 1-0 up after 30 minutes. Gordon doubling their lead after 32 minutes. Boos at half-time from the Tottenham Hotspur fans in the away end. Isak scoring his second and Newcastle's third of the game after 51 minutes. And Fabian Scher finishing things off, making it 4-0 after 87 minutes. Now, the match stats from the game, Newcastle had 27% of the ball to Tottenham's 73%. Shots, Newcastle had 18 to Tottenham's 11. Shots on target, Newcastle had 5 to Tottenham's 2. Corners, Newcastle had 16 to Tottenham's 3. Fouls, Newcastle 14, Tottenham Hotspur 12. Now, even though Aston Villa have not played today, they are due to play on Sunday against Arsenal. Because of the goal difference, Spurs have now dropped out of the top four. We are now fifth on goal difference. Aston Villa are fourth. Now, as usual, I've got three very special guests to talk about the game. We've got actor Ricky Norwood back with us. Ricky, I'm glad you're here.
I'm not. I'm telling you, bro. I'm not. I'm fuming, mate. Fuming.
We'll get into it. We will get into it. Josh Hughes is back with us, of course, journalist with the Daily Mail. Josh, I've just seen your tweet about tactics, about Ange Postecoglou. I know you're not happy. We'll talk about the football in a minute, but how are you?
Yeah, I've been better. Got a nice therapy session ahead, though, so hopefully feel better off the back of this.
I'm absolutely delighted as well to bring back Emmett Golden, radio presenter of ESPN Cleveland. Emmett, great to have you here. As I said off air, I'm so sorry. Your first appearance on the podcast this season. I love having you here. I'm just gutted, really, for the result and gutted that you are on after this performance and result. But how are you?
I'm doing well. I've done better, that's for sure. I'll tell you what, you know, waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning in the States and then watching that, you talk about ruining the start of a Saturday morning. But definitely happy to be with you guys.
Well, lovely to have you here. Let me just say before we get into it, ahead of today's game, Tottenham Hotspur chairman Daniel Levy and Newcastle CEO laid wreaths outside St James's Park in memory of the late, great Tottenham Hotspur legend Joe Kinnear. Ricky, let's start the show with you. Let's get your thoughts on today's game because, as I said there in the intro, boos a couple of times from the away end, from the Tottenham supporters. Some fans even singing, "We want our money back." Of course, we've been here before. We were here this time last year when Newcastle were 5-0 up after 21 minutes. Yes, it wasn't so bad, but it just felt the same old story today. Different players, different manager. We expected a whole lot more. Spurs have now dropped down to fifth in the table. Of course, with the coefficient rankings as well, it doesn't look so good because of the European results last week. You know, it looks like Spurs have got to get that fourth spot if we want to play Champions League football. That did not look like a Champions League team today. That looked like half the players, or indeed the whole lot of players, were on their summer break. It looked like we were a mid-table team chasing nothing.
No, listen, Chris, boys, listeners, viewers, all of you. I mean, normally I've got a positive spin. Normally I can find a chink of light. Normally I can find a green shoot, but I couldn't find any today. That wasn't just a bad day at the office, especially at this time of the year. This is the business end of the year. The way that I've kind of seen it is that this is where, you know, yes, we've had a bumpy season. We had a great first 10 games, you know, and then we've had injury suspensions. We've had all the excuses in the world. And, you know, we've come out with some good performances during that time, but it has been very, very bumpy up and down. But we've had our full team out today, and there is really no excuses. I can't find any positivity from that 90 minutes today at all. We were outthought. We was outfought. We was, you know, we were outside the stadium, bro. I don't even think the team turned up because it was just horrendous from top to bottom, from minute one to minute 90. We had a couple of chances in that first half, in that first 10 minutes that we should have put away. I think Timo didn't do himself any favours. You know, when the question has turned up about whether we should sign him or not, I've always said, let him earn it, let him earn it. And I tell you what, today he didn't earn it at all. He didn't put in a great performance at all. I thought he missed three really good chances in that first half. Kept giving the ball away, kept doing the same things, but then you could say that from top to bottom, really. The midfield was non-existent. Where was our defensive line? There were just so many bad things that happened today, and especially at this time of the season. These boys want to talk about Champions League. Their boys want to talk about, you know, pushing for titles and being in title races and being disappointed that they're not in title races. Well, you get what you're given in this league, and my gosh, we deserve that 4-0 thumping today. Every single fan that's been on that has been worried about our defensive line, that has been worried about coming up against teams that can attack and that do have pace up front, and that can, you know, probably out-sprint Van de Ven or what. It all came to pass today, and it's a really worrying display. It's a really worrying performance because we've got big games coming up against big sides with good attackers, good midfields, and good defences. And if they turn up and want to perform like that, it's ridiculous. This was the first of the seven games left, and this was the first of the big games that we've had to face. And it's a worrying indictment. Before, like after Fulham, and, you know, there were lessons that we could take from it. We could say it was a bad day at the office, but today, my gosh, they've got no excuses whatsoever. 12:30 kickoff, not an excuse. Even that brown kit is not an excuse. I know it's been unlucky for us, and I know Emmett's, you know, sporting the brown today, and I don't want to cuss it too much, but
this will be going in the closet, Ricky. I probably won't be wearing this one again. Don't worry about it.
I don't blame you, brother. I do not blame you. If you've got your receipt, I'd go and exchange it, bro. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, let me tell you, there's been no excuses at all today. Those boys just did not turn up. They did not perform. There was no fight. There was no comeback. I was wishing for a comeback. I was hoping for a comeback. There were so many things that were out of whack today that there's nothing that I can really say apart from a really poor performance. And the boys not only let us down, the fans, but they let the manager down and they let the club down today with that type of performance and with no reaction either.
Thank you, Ricky. Ange Postecoglou, after the game, just said Newcastle were good. We just didn't get a grip of the game. It felt like Newcastle dictated the way that the game was played. He also said there's no point sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves. We've got another game in 2 weeks. It's all part of our growth, and sometimes growth is painful. Josh, let's come to you. Let's get your thoughts on the game. Andrew's comments, are they fair there? Because, you know, no point feeling sorry for ourselves. I get that. We're playing Arsenal in 2 weeks' time. That's going to be very, very difficult. We've got some very, very difficult games coming up.
I just think he's always too soft in the media. I think it's always, you know, whenever we play poorly or wherever the result is not good enough. I mean, this was by a mile the worst performance of the season. I just think he's not gone far enough here. And I think he's not thought about the fans like yourself who were sat right up in the gods with an awful view, having travelled halfway up the country to witness that. I don't think he's thought about those people. I think he's probably done what he always does, which is he looks to the floor. He doesn't look the journalist in the eye. He sort of grovels and he kind of says along the lines of, you know, it wasn't good. And kind of that was it. It wasn't enough for me. I think, for me, maybe it's just me. I just like when a manager can be a little bit more honest and a little bit more, you know, emotional to it. I'm not expecting him to be like Conte throwing his toys up, but, you know, I just feel like that, you know, I expected as much from him. I would have liked to see a little bit more, you know, him connecting with the fans there and saying, you know, this really was unacceptable. We cannot be playing like this. We've got massive games to come and we will do everything in our power to make sure this type of result doesn't happen again. That's, you know, how I would approach the situation. The result today, I kind of echo pretty much everything that Ricky said. It was a very bad day at the office and, you know, a lot of the players that we expect to put on a performance, even when others don't, they had off days as well. I'm thinking particularly Mickey van der Ven and, you know, Pedro Porro and you know, Destiny Adogi, who I thought all three of them were pretty poor. Van der Ven, you know, I felt bad for him because he's obviously slipped, but, you know, I think Rio Ferdinand summed it up well at halftime. We realised that actually he's not slowed his legs down. And the reason he's slipped is because of his body positioning and the way that he's approached both of those situations. Individual errors, again, I mean, this happens every season. It doesn't matter who the manager is, who the players are. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club and individual errors costing us in this way. We always get thumped at least once a season where everything seems to go wrong. And that one, I think, today. I'm very worried about us defensively. I think the number of goals we're conceding in games, we're conceding every single game is a massive, massive mark for me. We've got to address this summer. And, you know, I think a lot of that is down to the tactical setup. And I think that, you know, even the situation with Van der Ven, it's very easy to blame him for slipping and for not getting his positioning right. And he did make a mistake, but that comes out of Udogi second before being far too weak. But then that also comes from Udogi being told by Ange Postecoglou to basically act as a almost like an inverted 10 off the left-hand side. So we're constantly defending the play, which involves us having to, you know, reactive. We're not proactive defensively. We're constantly chasing back. And, you know, we play in a way that is constantly relying on Van der Ven's pace to bail us out. It didn't quite happen today. And then obviously, you know, you're never going to help when Pedro is doing a back pass like that for the second. Set pieces again, Fabian Scher's goal, the fourth. I mean, how many goals have we conceded now from set pieces? I think that's 11. Is that 11 from set pieces now in the Premier League? Right up at the top in terms of, well, I say bottom, actually, in terms of the rankings. You know, if the Premier League table was on that, you know, we'd be right in the relegation fight. It's not good enough. And then it's inexcusable again for Isak to be allowed to run completely clean through. It seemed like every time they put the ball over the top, the pass was completed. They were allowed to run in on goal. It was horrific from top to bottom. And then the front three, not good enough. I'm sorry, not good enough. Son has been dismal for weeks. You know, I got a lot of stick in the comments last time I was on, and I was probably a bit unfair in terms of questioning his leadership. But what he's giving us on the pitch, not good enough. I mean, there was a moment where, you know, and a lot of people losing their minds at Werner one of the chances he has. Son makes a run offside and then blocks Werner's shot. I mean, it's just that typifies our front three. One little positive, I'll try and be end with a little bit of positivity, is I thought we had far more when Brennan Johnson actually played through the middle. Not a lot more, but, you know, enough more that made me think I would rather see Brennan Johnson play through the middle and someone else play rather than Son up top, because Son is not a striker.
Josh, before we move on to Emma, I just wanted to get your opinion on Ange Postecoglou, because it sounds there that you're losing your faith in him. Have I picked that up right?
I'm not losing faith in him, but I think what we're seeing here is a manager that has a very, very clear idea about how he wants to play football, and it's his way or the highway. And I don't think the Premier League is that black and white. I think you have to be a little bit more adaptable. And, you know, I jokingly tweeted after the game, it's just who we are, mate, because that's kind of how we feel as fans. That's the attitude that he gives off after these types of performances. And, you know, for me, prime example was Anthony Gordon's interview with TNT. I don't know if you managed to catch it, Chris, but Anthony Gordon basically said, we know how good Tottenham are on the ball, and all credit to Eddie Howe, who changed the way that we were tactically. We completely changed it up and went man for man, which we don't normally do, and the game plan was executed perfectly. Now, with Spurs, we're never saying that. It's constantly... every team that we seem to play against can play exactly how they want to play against us. And we're the only team that seems to not be able to play the way we want to play, because, you know, I'm sure how Ange Ball is meant to be played, you know, we're meant to be far more fruitful in attack, creating more opportunities, more clear-cut opportunities, be more dynamic. You know, how we played at the start of the season when everyone was on song, you know, it's been far from that since the Chelsea game, I would say. So, you know, I'm not losing faith in him per se. I'm certainly not Ange out. But I think he, like the players, needs to look at this and he needs to improve himself. He needs to take a step back, look at what went wrong, and he needs to do something about it, be proactive rather than reactive.
Emmett, let's come to you. I've got so many questions for you because, of course, you haven't been on for a good while. What have you made of Spurs, obviously, today, today's performance, and what have you made of them overall? And since Andrew's come in, a lot of people have liked to be entertained. You know, he seems to have turned this football club around. And then in recent weeks, including today, you know, the result at Aston Villa, wonderful result, mm-hmm. wonderful performance. The very next week, losing 3-0 at Fulham, it could have been more. Although it finished 4-0 at St James's Park today, it's fair to say it could have been a whole lot more. Josh talks about tactics and Ange needing to adapt the way that he does things. When you look at social media today, particularly on X, and I know that can be a dreadful place at times, but there is a lot of criticism today for Ange Postecoglou. How are you feeling?
I mean, I think the guys covered so much of it. The thing that really stuck out to me was it looked like Newcastle was the team that was fighting for a Champions League spot. And I don't understand that. You know, that was the thing that really kind of blew my mind. As I watch Postecoglou in this, you know, version of Spurs, they're going to give up goals. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but you got to score. You know, that's part of Ange's whole thing is you play the high line, you're on the front foot, and if you give up a goal or two, whatever, if you score three or four, you're going to win. But they just couldn't get it done. And I think the book is kind of out on Ange in the Premier League with, you know what, you just load the box full of defenders and you play on the counterattack because you're probably going to catch Spurs and their back line extremely high and there'll be opportunities there. You know, I'm still somewhat new in my Spurs support. I began following this club in 2020, you know, during COVID. So I was used to parking the bus, you know, not much exciting football at all. So seeing the way that Ange has, you know, brought this style, I have enjoyed it, but it is frustrating. And, you know, Ange does have his faults, but I look at the players today and put a lot on them. I didn't see the passion from them. You know, that's what really stuck out to me. I love Van der Ven, but you got to stay on your feet. You know, when you slip is when you're not in control of your body. You know, Timo, Big fan of Timo. You got to finish those. You know, if the game is 2-0 Spurs up, it's a completely different game. Even if it's just 1-0, I think the outcome is different. So when you get the opportunities, you have to make the most of them. And Spurs just did not do that today.
Emmett, you said you didn't see that passion today. Why not? I feel like I've asked that question so often. You know, since you started supporting Spurs in 2020, I feel like I've said that question, asked that question to so many guests under different managers, different players. Everything seems to have changed, but that is still there. How can you not have passion 6-7 games to go when we are going for a Champions League spot?
I don't understand it. And, you know, I see it here, you know, locally in the States with the teams that I cover. Sometimes they just don't show up. And you're like, how? You know, like, this is a big game. And I've heard of the legendary Ange team talks that he gets the guys fired up. And that's great to have a manager that can inspire you. But some of that inspiration has to come from within. I think everybody on the pitch, you know, when they were little boys, dreamed of being where they were at and playing in games that mattered and being, you know, on the road in a hostile environment and really rising to the occasion. And I didn't see that. To Josh's point, you know, Brennan, yeah, there was a little bit of a change once you took Sonny off. And even think about that. They took Sonny off, and I don't think any of us were disappointed or mad about it. I think we all thought, yeah, it kind of makes sense to take Sonny off, and that's mind-blowing because you just don't expect that to happen. But for some reason or another, it's not exclusive to Spurs either. I can tell you I've seen the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, play uninspired basketball. I've seen the Browns in Cleveland play uninspired football. I don't get it, but that passion was definitely missing today.
Ricky, let's come to you. Where Emmett said when Son went off, you know, not one of us said, you know, we're missing him from, you know, from when he went off to the end of the game. I haven't seen anyone or heard anyone say we miss Richarlison today. You know, he's our number nine. Everyone's saying that we need a striker and we need someone up front to score goals, but no one is saying we miss Richarlison today. Do you think we missed him? Do you think he's good enough to take Tottenham to the next level? And would you expect Ange to bring in a striker in the summer?
Ooh, well, on Richie, I think he did have a bit of a purple patch when we had a lot of injuries and Sonny was out on internationals and stuff like that, and he scored 8 in 8 games and it looked nice. He did miss a hell of a few during those times that he did score, but look, he scored and it was a good return at that point. I think Richarlison is another one that hasn't really proved his worth in the sense of that he's a nailed on starter in that first 11. I think every time he gets up to speed or every time he starts to have an effect, there's an injury or there's an international break or there's something that breaks it up and then he comes back and he can't get back into that rhythm as yet. We also know that he's had some family issues, do you know what I mean? And some mental health issues as well that it's affected his head and his heart. And those things are really tough. It doesn't matter what field of work that you're in, you know, if look, we all try. We've all been in a situation where something at home or something within the family has affected us and we try and push it to the side and try and get on with our job. But we will be a little bit spiky. We will be a little bit... We won't be our normal 100% selves. So maybe that's what's happening with Richie. But he hasn't really... Because he's been out so long and because normally when he's on the field, you know, and he gets an opportunity... The majority, I speak for myself, I won't say majority, but there's many a times that he's one-on-one and my first thought is that he's going to miss it. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's going to score it. When I see Sonny in a one-on-one, I think he's going to score it. You know, when Harry was in a one-on-one, I could bet my house that he was going to score it. You know, there would be the odd occasion that he wouldn't, but 9.5 times out of 10, he would. So that's what we're used to. And we're not seeing that those type of level of performances from Richarlison or reliability from Richarlison. I think all of us have thought about a new striker coming in the summer. And I think Ange would have done exactly the same to get that perfect profile up front. Sonny, I love Sonny to bits. You know, Sonny's like one of my favourite players. And, you know, I do think he's there as a leader. I do think he puts everything out on the line. But today, he was ineffective in that number nine role. He's not a striker, no, technically, but I do still think he's the best number nine that we have at this point in time. I was surprised when he took it. I was surprised when Ange took him off today. Just in the sense that he's our captain, I thought he would have pushed him to the left and taken Timo off. I would have taken Timo off before I would have taken Sonny off. But you know what? Again, like last week when the halftime substitutions for the midfield came on, I think there's a bit of consequence for inaction and consequence for the form that you're in right now. So he got taken off and we tried something new. I don't think Maddison had the greatest of games today. I don't think any of us really had the greatest of games today. But yes, I do expect Ange to be coming in and in the summer and go for a bona fide number nine, somebody that he can hang his hat on, somebody that can do the things that he wants to do in that position, as well as a winger and a number six. I think we definitely need those things because that's where the trouble's coming from. You know, the midfield hasn't really been strong enough to kind of break up counterattacks and kind of help the defence in defending the last line. You know, everyone's been pushed up front. You've seen when this system works that it's beautiful. And, you know, Postecoglou wants to perfect that plan A. And when plan A ain't working, he goes back to the drawing board and kind of goes, well, we're going to perfect plan A. And that's what they're on. And we can accept that. We're going to have bumps in the road. We know that there's going to be...
I get the bumps in the road there, and I completely get that. I understand it. But every player on the pitch today, not showing any effort, not showing any passion to win that game today, I tell you, it surprised me. I suppose that's the question I want to ask all of you. Are you surprised by that lack of effort today?
No. Not really, because it happens from time to time so often. So it wasn't very surprising.
I was surprised that there was a lack of effort and a lack of fight and that we wasn't up to scratch today. I was surprised because right now, this is it. You know what I mean? Seven games to go. Show us what you got. You know, the squad's pretty much fully fit. You know, you've got everybody there that you want to count on. You've got something to aim for. You've got something to strive for. We didn't turn up in any of the cup competitions this year. This is what you've got to play for. Show us what you're about. Show us that you want to go into next season and be those title challengers. All of these things are in front of you. Earn your spot. Earn your place. You know, cement yourself as somebody who can be relied on in these situations. So I was 100% surprised that we didn't show up. That yes, it's happened before. Yes, but those I could account to a bad day in the office because even when we've been in a losing position, I've seen fight, I've seen willing, I've seen want, I've seen us go for it in extra time, and I've seen us get winners in extra time and stuff like that. There was no reaction today. There was no reaction today. I was super surprised that we just collapsed and let them have it. Do you know what I mean? And again, Ange wasn't on that pitch. I don't think Ange his halftime talk or his pre-match talk said something along the lines of, just do what you want. I'm sure that he wanted to GM up, and I'm sure that he said something to GM up and to try and get them focused. But today, for some reason, everybody was still sleeping. Maybe they missed their Weetabix this morning. Maybe they didn't get their oatmeal this morning. I don't know. But definitely something was off.
I'll tell you what, I just feel that there are so many similarities to last year's game. And it's interesting because I know a lot of fans didn't like the question to Ange in the embargo press conference yesterday. Did you watch last year's game? And Ange went, no, what on earth would I want to watch that for? Perhaps you should have done. Josh, let's come to you. Let's talk about the starting 11 because, of course, Ange Postecoglou made one change today. Benton Kerr coming in for Pape Matar Sarr. Now, what an interesting stat this at is. Ange Postecoglou has used 19 different midfield trios this season in the games that we have played in the Premier League. So the starting 11 today, Vicario, Poro, Romero, Van de Ven, Udogie, Basuma, Benton Kerr, Johnson, Maddison, Timo Werner and Hunmin Son. Subs today, Højbjerg, Dragusin, Emerson Royale, Lo Celso, Kulusevski, Saar, Davis and Austin. and Brian Hill back in the squad today. Josh, when I say that stat to you, Andrew's used 19 different midfield trios this season. Does that surprise you? Does he know his best team?
No, he doesn't know his best team necessarily, but also I think that it's been obviously Bentancur's been injured. Madison was injured. So, you know, it's been working different things around. But, you know, one thing I will say is I was very surprised that Højbjerg didn't start the game. I know Højbjerg was pretty poor when he came on today, but I think then again, I'm not going to single him out for that because I think everyone was miles off of it. So it was just another one. And I think also where he comes on when the game's already done. But yeah, for me, I thought the way Højbjerg and Bentancur controlled the game against Luton, I was expecting, I was expecting the pair of them to start and then hopefully that free up Madison to go a bit further forward. The thing that does surprise me is the fact that irrespective of the midfield changes, whatever you want to call it, Saar's energy, I think, is something we missed today. But then that means someone else has to miss out, and that's probably Madison. And I think there's a whole conversation to be had about Madison, to be honest, because this guy comes in as a sort of an attacking midfielder. He takes Harry Kane's shirt number. We all know what we're getting. We're going to get someone who's going to be just behind the strikers, feeding them balls left, right and centre. We're getting none of that from him. The positions he was taking up at the start of the season, you know, when he was getting goals and he was getting assists, you know, brilliant. But now he's so deep, he's having zero impact on the game. And all that I see when I see Madison on the pitch at the minute is he going to get a red card for something petulant? Is he going to, you know, is he going to land us in further trouble than that we're already in? And that is a problem. Again, I'm not happy seeing Lo Celso be given only 10 minutes. And I'm not saying he's the answer. I don't think he necessarily is. But a player that when he is on the pitch has shown a lot more quality than Madison's shown recently. Ange, for whatever reason, has decided he does not like him. And I fully expect him to be sold this summer. But it's a big problem. We've got no creativity in midfield and we've got no kind of presence at all. This was one of the things that people were marvelling over at the start of the season was this Tottenham midfield trio is excellent. You know, Bissouma was playing the football of his life. Madison was on song. Saar was brilliant, you know, and everyone was talking about Tottenham's going to win this game because the midfield is going to be the key battle that they win. Now, what I'm watching every single game is nothing on top, nothing in midfield, and we play a million and one passes. We can pass the ball until the cows come home if we like. We're not doing anything with it, and when we lose the ball in stupid areas, it goes from one end of the pitch to the other like that. And there's no midfield presence whatsoever. And when there is midfield presence, it tends to be a silly little foul or a situation that puts us under even more pressure. And, you know, I think Ange needs to sort that out. I think we've still got so much quality there and a lot of really good players. And I think that probably we're in a situation where players are just, as the start of the season, I mentioned, you know, everyone on song. I think we're just in a moment where a few players aren't on song right now. And I'm not saying, you know, we need to sell our midfield and buy a whole new midfield. But I think little tweaks and little adjustments and, you know, I think can make a real difference. And as you kind of allude to, I'm not sure Ange knows what the solution is just yet.
I'll tell you what, I feel like I've changed my mind about Timo Werner today. The amount of messages that I've received from a number of friends, family and just people I know about Timo Werner. I want to come to you, Emma, on Timo Werner, because after 7 minutes, Spurs had a glorious chance. Brennan Johnson with a superb cross, Timo Werner in the middle, blasting over with his right foot. It seemed like the perfect height to head the ball. He went with his right foot. There was another chance in the 16th minute where he hit Heung-min Son. Timo Werner, for you, do you want him to sign for Spurs on a permanent basis or would you let him go?
I mean, at this moment, after today, I'd let him go. You know, after he gets a couple assists and a goal, maybe I'll change my, you know, I'll change my mind. I love his pace down that side. And I think he and Johnson, together have really put some pressure on opposing teams. So I like that. But I mean, you guys pointed out right there, there's a reason why he was available. And that reason was he just doesn't finish. You know, you do all that hard work to get an opportunity right in front of goal and to have a chance to score, and you just don't finish. It's almost a waste of a buildup, a waste of excitement. So, you know, I didn't understand why he was available at the transfer deadline, but or during the transfer window, excuse me. But now I see. It's because he just doesn't finish well. So they can upgrade that position. I think they need to. So, you know, if Timo, if they don't sign him permanently, I won't be upset. I like him as a guy. I love his pace, but they definitely need to improve on that side.
It's funny because in the 17th minute, a good move from Spurs, James Maddison, great pass to Timo Werner. Originally, I wrote, he put it wide. But he didn't put it wide. He actually put it sidewards. He actually went sidewards. He didn't even go towards the goal. Ricky, would you sign Timo Werner? From what you've seen, because I've been defending Timo Werner, I like his work rate, I like what he does. But when I thought about it today, can we rely on him to score goals when we need them? I don't think we can.
Not at this moment, Chris. Not at this moment. My thing has always been, ever since we signed him, I'm like, let him earn his contract. Yes, he might have had a good couple of performances. Yes, he's got a couple of assists and a couple of goals. You know, there's a couple more assists that he could have had, but they've turned into own goals, so he doesn't get the assist. So there has been some encouraging performances, and you can see that by the fact that he continues to start in front of Kulusevski, or, you know, and putting Brennan Johnson on the left, or the kind of rotation. He started a couple of games back to back now. So there is definitely something there that Ange likes about him. But my thing is, like, earn your contract. Sometimes we fall in love with a lone player too quick, and then we sign him and we don't see him again. Do you know what I mean? It's tough. It's really, really tough. Today, he didn't put himself in the best light whatsoever. For me, he had three. The first one was, like you say there, that cross from Johnson. You know, he was there in space. He even had time to take a touch if he wanted and then take a shot. But he decided to take it on the volley, and it went above, you know, went over the bar and into the stands. And you're just like, oh, come on. You know, and then he's had two other opportunities in that first half where he just blazed over, or when he shot at goal, it was straight down the middle. They were easy shots. So he hasn't done himself any favours at all. But, you know, there's still six games to go for him to earn that contract. So it's up for him. For me, I don't want just a player for player's sake. I don't want you know, just because he's 15 mil, to kind of go, well, you know, it's cheap, it's easy, it's a good squad player. Not if that stops a young one coming through like Santiago, or not if that stops like us going for the number one target, you know, because I don't see us buying a striker and a winger, although I would love it, of the highest quality, do you know what I mean? Of a 50 mil plus-ish around that area, I don't see us buying a striker and a winger. So he could definitely, you know, there are positives there in the sense that he could work as a squad player, he could work as coming off the bench. But then again, you made a great point there. Can we rely on him to change the game? Can we rely on him right now to kind of come on and make an impact that kind of worries the opposition? At this present time, no. But I mean, if he goes, and I've said this before though, but if he goes and scores the winner against the Gooners, I mean, my gosh. And then he goes up against Chelsea and scores the winner against them. You know what I mean? Or has a worldy performance against Chelsea. I think everybody's position will change because, you know, not only would they have been winners, but they would have been against two massive rivals of ours. So there's still time for him to change that opinion. Today has been the worst performance, I think, from Timo. He's had some good performances. He hasn't had any outstanding performances, pretty averagey, middle of the road performances, but today was definitely his worst, and so he hasn't done himself any favours whatsoever.
Josh, let's come to you. Ricky says there, if Timo Werner scores against Arsenal, we'll all be very pleased, but if he would have scored these two glorious chances today, after 7 minutes and 17 minutes, we could have been 2-0 up, it could have been a completely different game. What's your verdict on Timo Werner? Sign him or release him?
Well, you know the old saying, if my auntie had, I'm not going to say the rest. And that sums it up with Spurs. You know, generally, Timo, for me, you know, I've been very supportive of him and very patient with him. I think the jury's still out. I think Ricky's made a good point. I think he can sort of adorn himself to the Spurs fans if he can show up in a big game where it really counts. But again, I think what worries me is the fact that we're talking about Timo and it sounds like the same old story as we've had with so many players. Also, Richarlison, you know, you can list off players where it's all a bunch of nearly men. It's always, oh, they can have a purple patch or they can play well in a couple of games. But overall, we're not seeing consistent quality. Look at Isak today. I mean, he had us on skates from the first minute. And look at Anthony Gordon today. I'm looking at both of them and think they are significantly better than any of the players we have at the minute. You know, please get that
like your offense. Oh, come on, Chris. Come on, mate.
But the pair of them, right?
I'll tell you what, though, Josh. Isak could have had 6 goals today easily.
He could have done. He could have done. And both of those walk into this Tottenham team. And I think that this summer, what I'm looking at is as much as Timo Werner, okay, Ange clearly likes him, I'm kind of taking it for a given that we're signing him at that price. It makes too much sense. We know what Levy's like. It's a bargain. You know, you're not going to get players with that much experience at that price. So I'm taking it as a given. But what I'm looking at is if we really want to be serious about the conversations that, you know, are being had, what James Maddison said about wanting to be in the title race, Ange Postecoglou as well spoke about it. It's not going to be the answer. That's the reality. It's not going to be the answer. The teams that have, if a team like Newcastle, who's now just gone up to 6th, they started the day, I think, in 8th, right? They've gone and spent big money on top attacking players. You know, we can't expect to have sold the best striker in the world and then 15 million Timo Werner and push them up top. That's the answer. It's not the answer. So, yeah, we've got to make a statement. If we really want to be in the conversation, we've got to act up a bit.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Josh, seeing the bigger picture, I know some people will tune into this podcast, either watching it or listening to it, and think that, you know, you've got 4 blokes on here just moaning about the performance, moaning about the season, moaning about the manager, moaning about every player, moaning about everything. But we're 5th. We've got the same points as a team that sat in 4th. Yes, it's been a very poor performance, a very, very bad day at the office today for everyone involved at Tottenham. But seeing the bigger picture and trying to put a little bit of balance on it, before the season, what Spurs fan or what football fan would have thought that we would be in this position with 6 games to go?
Well, me for starters, but only because we've got video evidence of this. I said we'd be 5th, and we are 5th. And I still think we'll finish 5th. But at the same time, look, it's never been under question that we don't have quality players at the football club and that we can't compete with anyone on our day. Of course we can. But I think there's been a lot of positives this season. And, you know, I was expecting, certainly the pundits were thinking it was going to be a lot worse than it was for Spurs. But, you know, what I'm looking at is, okay, positive. We've got this fight and we're winning games in the 90th minute when we're not playing particularly well. There's a shift in mentality. But then that's doubled up by this performance today. which is all the hallmarks of the Tottenham that we don't like, and that has, you know, we always say, oh, history repeats itself. You know, we're in a good spot and we can fight. But again, I think what it is it's an opportunity missed because the games are so difficult. Our record at Chelsea is atrocious, and Chelsea seem to have only shown up this season against the big teams. So that's not going to be easy. City, Arsenal, Liverpool, all going for the title. I mean, we could not have a more difficult end of the season. And then we're in a situation where effectively, by the time we play Burnley and Sheffield United, I think City will be probably in between those two games. You know, it might be done anyway. I'm sure the perspective of this would be slightly different if we were top of the coefficient with UEFA and it was looking like was definitely going to be a Champions League spot. But, you know, before we can start having a conversation to think about being in the title race, we need to get to the Champions League first and foremost. And, you know, certainly for me, there's always going to be an element of I can't bear to see us behind Aston Villa, considering all the work that was done at the football club and all the good stuff that's happened at this club over the last 15 years. To then, you know, we're finding ourselves behind Aston Villa, who were relegated in that time, came back up, and have only really had one, you know, great time since Emery's come in. So we're in a good spot, but performances like this and performances like Fulham and even West Ham, which again, you know, really needed those 3 points in, that is what concerns me, because if we show up and play like that against Arsenal, City and Liverpool, we're done.
Yeah, I agree. And that game against Arsenal in 2 weeks' time, I tell you what, it does really worry me right now. Emma, let's come to you. Let's talk a little bit about Ange's style of play, because you mentioned earlier, you know, if he continues to play this high line, continues to play exactly the same way that he has done all season, and we've seen in recent weeks, including today, you know, those two games that Josh has just mentioned, the Fulham game losing 3-0 could have been more. Today's game 4-0 could have been more. Is he going to change? He has to, surely.
You know, guys, I actually don't believe he can change. When he showed up, he said, this is the way that we are playing. And if he changes now, he loses all credibility in that dressing room. You know, I mean, think back beginning of the season. I can't remember the loss, but I remember Spurs supporters standing up and applauding the way the team played, even in a loss, that, you know, they were down, what, to 10 guys, and they stayed on the front foot and they still had the high line. And, you know, we as supporters loved it. He has to stick to it. I think we also have to remember that we're going to give up some goals. That's going to happen. You just have to kind of accept that in the way that Ange operates. You got to understand that. And 10 months, I think, Ange has been at Spurs. So, you know, it hasn't been a long time. They need to continue to boost the squad, you know, by bringing in players. And we know how that can go. But we just got to live with the way Ange does it, because if he changes at all, then the last 10 months has been for nothing, because he loses credibility in the dressing room.
Do you believe, though, Emma, as a fan, that he can continue his system and be successful at the club? Because when I sit here and look at the Premier League table, Spurs are on 60 points. Now, the likes of Arsenal and Liverpool, who are in the title race, are on 71. It's 11 points. That is not a lot. When you consider all of the injuries, suspensions and the other issues that Spurs have had, we could be up there. And this is the way that we're playing. And bearing in mind, we've lost 4-0 today. We lost 3-0 at Fulham a couple of weeks ago. Can he be successful playing this way in the Premier League?
I think he can. I think he can. I know it's very entertaining to watch. I enjoy it, you know, watching the way that they play. And you also think about the, you know, you didn't have Son or Basuma for like a month and a half, and then you had the injuries. There's just been inconsistency in the lineup, and I think there's a variety of reasons for that. And sometimes the players have just been inconsistent. It's frustrating. Trust me, I get it. I'm right with all of you guys. Very frustrated with this, but I believe in Ange. I like to listen to him speak. I believe what he says. I also don't think he's the type of guy that will light up players in front of the media.
Now, I do believe he'll do it in the dressing room. And I do believe he'll call a guy into his office and say, look, mate, you're not getting it done. Right? I think that, like, he will be honest with the players. But some coaches, and this has even been through my experience here in the States, they just don't light guys up in public in front of the media. You know, they don't necessarily want to embarrass their players. Now, sometimes you get results that way. You know, sometimes if you call a guy in the media, it will anger them, and then you might get a little more effort and passion out of them. But I think Ange can do it. We're going to have to deal with some games like this, but hopefully going forward, there won't be many more of these.
Ricky, let's come to you. Let's talk about Newcastle's first goal, of course, after 30 minutes. Isak putting them 1-0 up. Great play from Gordon. Shrugged off you, doggy. Plays a great ball to Isak, who then turns Van de Ven and puts it in the back of the net. I tell you what, all of us, you know, all year, all season on this podcast and, you know, face-to-face have been, you know, talking about Van de Ven in such a great light. What a fantastic signing he has been. But today, it wasn't his day, was it?
No, he went from hero to villain, didn't he? I mean, last week he was a hero and today he was the villain. And, you know, against Forest, I think he had like 5 out of 5 ground jewels. He had, you know, 5 out of 5 aerial jewels. He had 95% passing accuracy. He was, plus a goal, plus, you know, the overall performance from him was fantastic. And he has been like that. He has been consistently fantastic when he has played. And, you know, everyone can have a bad day. Everyone can have an off day. And I think today was his. But it's a shame because it came at the same time as everybody else. Do you know what I mean? So it's highlighted that even more so. The first goal, though, I think the first goal, it starts from the attack. I think Sonny's got the ball. Yeah. I think he tries to pass too many passes with Timo Werner up on that left-hand side. And Newcastle double-teamed us, nicked the ball, and then it was straight up the field. You doggy let it go. And then where, you know, it's Isak versus Mickey Van de Ven, and he turned him, and like the gents have already said, you know, his body shape and et cetera, but he's turned him and then he's finished. But it started from the attack. You know, if we would have found the path and had a shot, I think it would have been probably different. But we overplayed and everybody seems kind of on top of each other. You know, everyone was a little bit too close. So the short pass or the passing options, they were a little bit too predictable. It was easy to read for Newcastle to double up and nick the ball off of us and then spring an attack, you know. But, you know, I know Mickey's going to get a lot of the flak today, but the team didn't help him at all, especially with that first goal.
Although we're talking about the goals, I'm certainly not on here to try and slag off every single Spurs player. That is not what we do on this podcast. We talk about all of the incidents, so we're not, you know, slagging off anybody. Certainly not Mickey van de Ven, because he has been exceptional this season. Josh, let's come to you. 2 minutes later, so it's literally 2 goals in 2 minutes. Gordon scored, Pedro Porro's back pass, if that's what you want to call it. Gordon turns van de Ven on the floor. 2-0, St James's Park was electric. What did you make of it?
Well, firstly, I don't think anyone that watched it on TV knew what was going on until Gordon put it in the back of the net, because they were too busy showing. And you know, great cause that Newcastle had today, but they spent at least 2 minutes of the action showing, you know, the kids. And so we didn't know until the replay what had happened with Pedro Porro. I think it was the worst possible follow up to the goal, and often they say, you know, the cliche goes, the most difficult time to play as a team that's just, you know, scored is after the ball goes in the back of the net, because you need to stay focused. And they were right back at us, and the crowd got up. And, you know, a little point on Van de Ven, I think in both situations he was put under unnecessary pressure by the fullbacks. And that in turn was, you know, I mentioned this earlier on the show, was a result directly of the system and the way that Ange wants us to play. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea what went through Pedro Porro's head, playing it with the outside of his boot in a weird position. into the box. And yeah, okay, Van de Ven slipped and, you know, he got his feet wrong. But, you know, these mistakes shouldn't be happening. And you know, that was the thing that I thought, oh my goodness, we're going to be in for another hiding here. And that second goal goes in because it was so similar to last season where we conceded goals so quickly. Yeah, and it's a shame because I thought actually until that first goal went in, we were very much in the game. It was very end-to-end, very open, but we were still very much in it. And even at 1-0 down, I thought, okay, well, we've gone 1-0 down. This is what Tottenham does a lot of the time, and I back us to still be able to come back. That second goal killed it for me. We talk all the time about Tottenham needing that second goal when we go ahead, kill the game, and that's what we saw. That's what we saw at halftime. I had zero faith, unfortunately.
Well, Pedro Porro, of course, is another player that has been exceptional for Spurs all season. So that was a surprising mistake from him. Josh, we know that you've got to go off to work now for the Daily Mail. So two last questions, quick ones for you. Where do you think the Spurs will finish in the league? Actually, three questions. Europa League or Champions League? And score prediction for the Arsenal game?
I think we're going to be playing... Oh, I don't know. I think...
Come on, Josh!
I'm going to say Europa League on the basis of not getting the coefficient. I said we'll finish fifth. I still think we'll finish fifth. Just the fixtures that we have. I know Villa will probably lose to Arsenal tomorrow, but I think we probably have left ourselves a little bit too much to do now. Anything can happen. It's still very much up in the air. But, you know, unfortunately, we're going to need Villa to win that Conference League. We're going to need Liverpool to produce a miracle and come back, because I've no faith in West Ham doing it, and I can't bear to see West Ham win the Europa League. And then on top of that, we're going to need Man City, of course, to win the Champions League, definitely not Arsenal. I think Europa League, I think fifth, and Arsenal, God, 2-1 Spurs. We need a massive atmosphere. We cannot turn up to the ground and, you know, have the same kind of atmosphere as we've had for the last few games. It's got to be fire.
It's amazing what an hour on this podcast can do for you, and in the company of Emma and Ricky. You know, we just 4-0 at Newcastle, and now we're beating Arsenal. Wow.
Josh, that's right.
Josh, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on soon. Where can people find you?
At Josh Hughes TV on Twitter. Absolute pleasure to be on, as always. But I think the next time I come on shouldn't be after a game, because I think my record is pretty poor coming on directly after games. I don't think I've come on after a win yet. So,
it's your fault, Josh.
It might be. I don't know. I thought about this when you asked me. I thought about this. So, no. always a pleasure to be on. And I hope the rest of the show goes well, guys.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks very much. Emma, let's come to you. At the half-time stage when Spurs were 2-0 down, and bearing in mind, I'm not going to go through every single Newcastle chance, because they did have quite a few, and it could have been, you know, a lot more through Isak as well. At half-time, of course, we saw last week Ange Postecoglou making a couple of changes at half-time. Did you think he was going to do the same? Did you think that he was going to change personnel at half-time? I know it happened shortly after, but at that half-time point.
Yeah, I did expect that because there was obviously just something missing today. And when you see a team that's not playing inspired football, you go, we got to get some guys out there and maybe they'll inject some energy into the game. And it didn't really happen. You know, I said the move with putting Brennan in the middle up front, I thought was good. It helped a little bit, but it didn't make a huge difference. That's what you have to do in that moment, because I think we all realized that they just didn't, the effort wasn't there. And the guys that they brought on, you were hoping to see it. It didn't happen. And I think that's, especially from a midfield standpoint, I think that's Ange has been searching for consistency, you know, because you'll Vincent Kerr will come in and look great. And then the next match, you won't even know that he's on the pitch. You know, and the same thing happens with Papsar and Bissouma, and like all these guys have their moments where you're like, oh yeah, you can build on this. And going forward, man, this midfield's in great shape. And then you start watching another game and just like, where are these guys? You know, who is in midfield. So I wasn't surprised at all. And I still had faith that Spurs could at least get a point out of this one down 2-0. But obviously, I was dreaming.
Yeah. Well, at halftime, it was 2-0. And the Spurs fans booed off the team, Ange Postecoglou. And at that halftime point, Newcastle had 10 shots to Tottenham's 5. They had 2 shots on target, which, of course, they scored both goals from them. And we only had 1 shot on target, and that was through Heung-min Son 3 minutes before the halftime break. It was comfortable for the goalkeeper. Ricky, let's come to you. Basuma was booked after 47 minutes. Isak had another chance, which went wide. 2 minutes later, Pedro Porro came off. Emerson Royale came on. A couple of minutes later, Timo Werner had a shot on target. And then Newcastle got their 3rd goal. Ball over the top, Isak in behind, Van de Ven, good finish. I don't want to harp on about Van de Ven too much because it was a really bad day. Alexander Isak, we could do with someone like him, couldn't we?
Yeah, I think so. He's a fantastic striker. He has been for a long while. You know, the only unfortunate thing with Isak is that he does suffer with a lot of injuries. That's not just been in the Premier League, that's been wherever he's been. In fact, wherever he's been, he's always been plagued with injuries, but he's a dynamite player. He's got a really sharp eye for goal. He's got a turn of pace. He can dribble. He can head the ball as well. Even though he's got a slight frame, he is strong on the ball as well, you know. So they definitely picked up a diamond there. And if they can keep him fit, I think Newcastle will be, you know, up there challenging again next year. You know, with Mickey van der Ven and the 3rd goal, look, the thing is that everybody knows that watches this show every single week. You know, I love the players, right? The players are like brothers to me. They're like cousins. They're like nephews. They're like family to me, you know what I mean? And when they're down, I want to support them and help pick them back up. And yeah, when they're doing fantastic, I want to praise them to high heaven, you know. But we are on a podcast, and this is about discussion, and it is about debate, and we have to critique where we see critique. That 3rd goal, he should have gone with Isak. I thought he would have spotted that danger, but he let him go and get more than a yard on him. And however quick Van de Ven is, he's not the Flash. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to be able to, you know, especially if there's a speedster up front, you know, however quick he is, if they've got the jump on him, then more than likely the striker's going to go through and be on in goal. And Isak done that. Mickey will take the lesson from this. You've got to remember that he is a young player. This is his first season. He's still adapting. He's still learning. And I think bad days like this, it will be a great lesson for him to learn from. They will break it down. They will analyze it. He will. And I'm sure he'll come back fighting fitter, stronger, and better than ever before. Mickey van der Ven is a class act. I think we're very lucky. The same way I was talking about Isak there. We're really lucky to have found a gem like that. And all we've got to do is just make sure that he keeps going in the right direction, keeps building, keeps growing, and keeps improving. And he could be one of the best, if not the best, in the league. You know what I mean? Like, in the years to come. Today, the way that I see it, those first 10 games, it's like an exam season. It's like, you know, end of year exams. And, you know, the first 10 games, fantastic. You know, everyone was at class, on time, present, available, and everyone was getting A's at the end of class for their homework. You know, then we've had 18 games where there's been suspensions, injuries, and, you know, four fullbacks playing in defence. We had a really tough time, but we got through that. And then now, with the squad back together after internationals, after Asia Cup and African Cup and international friendlies, you know, we've got the squad back together. They're pretty healthy. They're getting their rhythm back. And this is exam season. These last 8 games have been exam season. And today, you know, even though it was food technology, and they only had to, you know, bake a loaf of bread, they failed. And that loaf of bread flopped. Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that they haven't got, you know, they ain't going to pass their English or their maths exam or their history exam. And there's still a lot to come. But this is the business end. And these are when these results really, really matter, because the weeks are running out and the games are running out. Like I said, this whole squad, the majority of it is new, but they've all got something to prove. We've seen a drop-off in performance from all of them, apart from Vicario, but then, you know, he's conceded 4 goals today. But we've seen a major drop-off. We've seen a major drop-off from people like Kulusevski. You know, Sonny's dropped off. Madison's dropped off. Werner in and out, you know, the whole midfield. That's why there's been so many permutations of the midfield, because whether it be rhythm, whether it be kind of lack of game time, or whether it be just kind of getting yourself back up to speed, they missed the exam. They've turned up 15 minutes late. And Romero and Van de Ven, you know, they are a perfect partnership. But today they failed, you know, and that's where the petulance started coming out. That's why there were so many yellow cards, because there was a frustration, there was an anger. And they just failed this exam. But there's 6 more to go. And there's 6 more really important exams. These are the ones that are going to get you into college and university. So what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? What are you going to do right now? Are you going to study hard? Are you going to do your homework? Are you going to do your revision? And are you going to come correct? Are you going to come ready for the fight? Are you going to come ready to kind of claim your A or your A star? Or are you going to fail again? It's up to these boys right now. You know, it's all on them. Like I say, like Emma was saying there about Ange, I still believe in Ange, absolutely. I think he's the right man for the job. I think he sees the game that we see it. I think he is passionate. I think he is with the fans. I think he knows what to do with this squad. And I don't think they're anywhere near it. I've said all season that they're in their infancy under this new manager, under this regime. You know, we've been playing Conte football for a minute. We've been playing Mourinho football, and we've been playing Nuno football for a minute. And it takes a minute to kind of get that style of play out of you. But the majority of these players are new, are fresh, and, you know, these things are going to happen. And wasn't on the pitch today. But I'm sure if he was, he'd be screaming, hollering, and probably headbutting a couple of those players on the same team.
Well, it's an A star from me, Ricky. Emmett, you can see why Ricky's on the podcast every week, can't you?
Absolutely. And by the way, I know a lot about failing tests. By the way, I failed quite a few in my day. So I know a lot about that. I mean, I do want to say this. I feel like when Spurs play teams, you know, they're top of the table, they typically show up, and not necessarily going to win all the time. But I've never saw them play an Arsenal, a Liverpool, a City, and think, you know, the effort wasn't there. It's always there. It's those middle of the table teams that they should beat. Those are the teams that they just don't. It doesn't seem like they really show up for. Bottom of the table, they're just better than those teams. So they typically pull those out. So I'm not worried at all about this, you know, stretch of games that are coming up. I expect Spurs to be ready to go because they know it's a bit, you know, big games, big teams. The stadiums are going to be insane. So I don't have any concern about that. I get concerned when I see a middle of the table team on the schedule, because I go, that's a spot or a chance for a letdown, because that's typically when they happen.
Well, 6 huge games coming up, and if we want to hear that Champions League music, I'll tell you what, we've certainly got to put in the effort and the passion for every single minute of these matches. After 57 minutes today, Ange made a treble sub. Højbjerg, Kulusevski and Saar coming on, Basuma, Son and Bentancur going off. As Josh rightly said earlier, Brennan Johnson then went through the middle. James Maddison had the captain's armband. Straight after that, free kick, Newcastle free kick, Isak, header just wide. And then after 63 minutes, Dan Byrne went close following a corner. At 80-minute mark, Newcastle hit the post, again from a set piece. Now, Spurs legend Graham Roberts wrote on X earlier, "We are allowed to pick up at set pieces. We have no leaders." Emma, let's come to you on this, because I want to talk a little bit about set pieces. What have you made of Spurs with these set pieces, particularly these last couple of games, particularly these games that we have lost heavily, Fulham and Newcastle. I know I keep pinpointing these two games, but I feel like it's very important to pinpoint these performances and results, because even today I noticed that Vicario, sometimes you'd come out of the six-yard box to try and either catch the ball or punch the ball away. Sometimes he just stayed on his line. What do you make of this zonal marking at Tottenham?
It seems to me that teams around the Premier League know that, at least when it comes to set pieces, you can get physical with Vicario. Like, if you get physical with him, if you get in his way, you can really disrupt him and kind of leave him trying to figure out what does he want to do. Does he want to attack the ball? Does he want to stay on his line when he's dealing with people being physical and in front of him? I think that he struggles in that situation. And it's kind of up to the guys to give him some protection. And you just don't see it. Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of that. It's a spot that they've got to fix. And they have to score on their set pieces. You know, part of this whole thing with Ange is scoring. Hey, you know, you're going to give up two goals, maybe three sometimes, but you have to make the opportunities, make the most of those opportunities when you have a chance on a corner or a free kick. And it's Spurs just aren't scoring then. You know, they're always – one pass away, you know, one run away of finishing things off, and they haven't. But I think really the opposition is focusing on disrupting Vicario, and they're seeing some good things happen because of it.
Ricky and Emma, do you want to say anything more about today's performance and result? Because I'm going to move on to the Arsenal preview otherwise. Is there anything else you want to say about today's game?
Yeah, I mean,
just throw it in the trash. Yeah, throw it in the trash. That's all I want to say. Throw the base game in the trash. Yes, it's done.
The only thing I was going to say is that just as Emmett was talking, then I just started thinking, and as you were talking as well, Chris, is that there has been points where, you know, and it's not happened very, very often, but when you look at the Fulham, when you look at Wolves, when you look at today, the lack of reaction from the first goal conceded, you know, that started to creep in a little bit. And it's only just crept into my brain, actually, just listening to you two speak. There has been a point where, like, there hasn't been that fight back. There hasn't been that, you know what, let's get together, let's work it out, let's be solid here, and fire the ball. There hasn't been that spark, you know, that I've seen the majority of this season when we have conceded a goal, to go, oh, no, that's all right. Okay, cool. We conceded a goal, but let's go and show them what we're about. So there's been a couple of times now that I have seen where, even though there's a lot of running, even though there's a lot of short passing, there hasn't been the reaction to go, let's go and get this goal, or let's go and get back into this game. Do you know what I mean? The heads have dropped. And that's when you get to the yellow cards and petulance and kind of immaturity from some of the players, because they're frustrated at the result and they're frustrated that they've conceded, rather than putting that energy into a reaction and go, you know what, let's go and get it. Let's go and shine what we're about. So that's the last thing that I'd say about today, but I would totally agree with Emmett there. Throw it in the trash.
I just realised, actually, that I didn't even mention Newcastle's fourth goal, whether people want to hear it
or
not.
We don't need to.
Nah.
It was a header off of a free kick. It's fine. Keep it moving.
It came from a corner, another set piece, 87 minutes gone. Gordon into Fabian Schär, no challenge, terrible defending. In the 91st minute, Kulusevski had a shot on target. And it's the first time we actually forced Dubravka into a good save, which is a shame, right at the end of the game. Ricky, let's start with you on the Arsenal game. I'll tell you what, we've got six games left. And as we've all said, six huge games if we want to hear the Champions League music next year. Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Liverpool away, and they are all in the space of 8 days, I might add. And then Burnley at home, Manchester City at home, Sheffield United away. Arsenal have seven games left in the Premier League. Of course, they are going for the title. Aston Villa at home, which of course takes place on Sunday. Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, Bournemouth at home, Manchester United away, and then they finish with Everton at home. Now, Arsenal play on Sunday against Aston Villa, then away at Bayern Munich in the second leg in the Champions League, then Wolves away, then Chelsea at home. They play those four games before we play them next, which is incredible. We have 2 weeks off. They have got four games in 9 days. Now, before I get your thoughts on this game, let's hear from former Arsenal legend Paul Merson. Let's get his thoughts on the game.
Hi, Chris, and everybody at the Spurs Chat Podcast. Paul Merson here. Just going to preview the Arsenal-Spurs game. My thoughts on Spurs this season, I've got to say they've been outstanding. Love watching them. Great the way they play. A bit gung-ho, but for the neutral, great football. Got plenty of good players. I think Mickey van der Ven is outstanding. I think he's one of the top centre-halves in the country without an absolute doubt. Go as far as to say in the world, one of the top ones. Brilliant player. My thoughts on Arsenal standout players, I've got to say Declan Rice. I personally think he's took Arsenal to an absolute another level this season. I think he's been solid. I think, you know, you've got to say Saka as well, been outstanding. And Odegaard, not been the season he had last season, but still decent. Will Tottenham get in the top four? I say they will. I do. I think they've got too many match winners in their team. You know, I know that you get the Fulham result, but not a one-off because they've had it before, but I think with the match winners into team like your Madisons and your Sons and you've got Mickey van der Ven at the back, I personally think they will get in the top four. My favourite memories of this fixture has got to be everyone. I mean, it was outstanding fixture. It was the one fixture when I was on holiday when there was no mobile phones in the day. You know, I used to ring my dad up the hotel and say, what days do we play Tottenham? I mean, you know, for the fans, it's a massive game, and for the players. So, massive game. My favourite memory of the game's got to be 93. When we got beat in 91, I was absolutely gutted. And then to have a chance 2 years later and the donkey won the derby, you know, I think that was, and then go on and win the cup. So, yeah, that was the memories. Score, I think Arsenal win. I do, and I only say that because I think Arsenal's midfield is stronger than Tottenham's. I think it's going to be a gung-ho football match where Tottenham have a shot, Arsenal have a shot, but I just think Arsenal's midfield, and I think Arsenal just win this game. Be a hard game, and I think if Arsenal win this, put some near on halfway, virtually the way of winning the Premier League. I think this is their big game for the running. But as I say, I think Tottenham will get top four, and they have been a joy to watch this season. And anybody who's watching this podcast, this is not a Tottenham shirt I got on. It's just a plain T-shirt. All the best, Chris. I wish you all the best and good luck.
Well, Paul Merson wishing us all the best. A big Mickey van der Ven fan. And of course, he said there that he thinks the Spurs will finish fourth. Ricky, what did you agree with? What did you disagree with? And also, we have got 15 days to prepare for this game. And as I said before, I put that clip on, that they've got four games in 9 days. Who does this benefit more?
Firstly, I disagree with you putting Paul Merson on this show. What are you doing, Chris? What are you doing, mate? Like, what is this?
Yeah, bad luck.
It's all balance on this podcast.
You're going to get Alan Smith to bloody well commentate next. I mean, bloody hell, mate. Jeez Louise. What's going on here? You know what? I thought that was going to be worse than what it was. Actually, it was quite complimentary. And yeah. The majority of what he said, through gritted teeth, I kind of agree with. In the sense that, you know, Declan Rice has taken them to a new level. It just shows you what a monster number six can do to a side. And, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say Rice, but could you imagine if we would have got Paulinho in January? Do you know what I mean? What kind of effect that would have had on our squad and us going forward? Somebody who is a true number six that can protect that back four, that can kind of facilitate the way in which we want to play. they're definitely in a great run of form. I think the four games that they've got, even though it will be taxing on their bodies, I think it's going to, depending on the results, but they're going to be in good form by the time they get to us. They're going to be in good rhythm by the time they get to us. This is another stop-start for us. you know, yes, we've got 2 weeks to kind of work on what we need to work on and highlight the problems from today and try and fix them in 2 weeks. But they're going to be within their rhythm. They're going to be ready to go. And, you know, if you remember that run-in that we had under Conte to get into the Champions League, we were playing pretty regular and we had that momentum and we had that rhythm and we had that energy. And, you know, there was no question that we was going to win a game when we came in to play. It didn't matter who it was against. And when we played the Gooners that time, we knew. Every single Tottenham fan knew we were going to destroy them. So they could have that same type of feeling going on right now, going for the Premier League, in the Champions League right now. They could have that. Hopefully, if it goes all skew with for them, then it gets into their heads. And by the time they get to us, they don't have that momentum no more, and they don't have that energy. But when it comes down to this game, form always goes out the window. And it's always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a challenge. So I do agree in the sense that it's going to be a back and forth. I don't agree that they're going to win because I can't, and I've never done it, and I won't ever do it. And you might call me a delusional fan, and I don't care. I sit in that delusion where I think Tottenham are going to win every single game. I don't care. I think it was a pretty fair assessment by Merson, you know, considering that he said we was going to be fighting relegation when we sold Harry Kane.
Emma, are you aware of Paul Merson and his work?
Not really. And if he played for Arsenal, I don't want to know him. You know,
that's the way I approach it.
Yeah, if he's part of that club, I don't want to know anything about him there. But, as Ricky kind of talked about, it's rest versus rust is usually the concern. You know, being rested is good. Being rusty, you know, is not. So I like to play. And I think after a game like this, you probably want to get the bad taste out of your mouth and get on the pitch as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Arsenal having four games, that's a lot. Maybe they're a little fatigued when they get to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But one of my best friends played in the NFL and won 3 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. You won't be tired in big games. You know, even if you are, you won't be. The adrenaline starts to, you know, to take over, and it doesn't matter what you've been through, and that's the type of matchup that Spurs and Arsenal are. So it's a huge, huge game, and if they're fatigued, it won't even matter because I know they'll want a quiet Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But they won't be able to do it, though.
Emma, do you think it's better for them, though? Because Ange just said this a number of times this season. He would prefer to be playing games and prefer, you know, to be playing constantly. They're going to be playing 4 games in 9 days. We're going to be training at Hotspur Way. He was even asked a question the other day in the press conference, will we have a behind-the-scenes, behind-closed-doors friendly? He said we're going to just train all the way through. So we're going to be training for 15 days straight, whereas they've got 4 games in 9 days. Is it more beneficial for them just to keep playing?
I think it is. It's weird because I think anything you do in life, if you do it on a regular basis, you're going to improve and be better, at least be at the top of your game. I went on vacation like 2 weeks ago, took my family to Disney World. I came back and I was a terrible talk show radio host, right? I wasn't resetting right. I was missing the numbers because I was rusty. I hadn't done it. I hadn't thought about it for a week. So yeah, I get it. That's all you can do because of the schedule, but I'd much rather be playing than, you know, just kind of training, on the practice facility.
I know what you mean, Emma. I was a terrible host a couple of weeks ago when Ricky was with me. the beer was flowing and that was it. Someone else hosted it. Terrible.
Yeah, guys, it's hilarious. I started and I went to throw out the number for, you know, callers to call in, and I'm like, 216. What's the number again? You know, and I've been working at the same place for 15 years and I totally blanked on the number after a week off.
Love it. Love it. Emma, what's your score prediction for this game? Spurs, Arsenal.
Uh, give me Spurs 2-1. I think Spurs concede early, like they always do, right? I think that's a foregone conclusion. I could see them tying it late around the 80th minute, and then a late winner that will just, you know, I know there's no roof on Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but if there was, that sucker would blow off.
And Ricky, your score prediction?
I mean, I'm going to go 3-2, Spurs, of course. I'm going to go 3-2. I think it's going to be a back and forth. I think it's going to be, you know, fireworks from minute one. And I'm praying now. But I see us coming out with a victory. Delusional or what, I don't care. But I see us coming out with a victory. Come on, you Spurs.
I'm sure as the game gets closer, I'll probably say a Spurs win. But I'm going to say a draw at the moment because after the day... Yeah, I don't know. Let's wait and see. Finally, just wanted to ask you some very quick questions. Ricky, let's start with you on this. And what's
one second, bro. There's somebody at the door. I'll grab a package. Give me a second.
I'll go to Emmett first.
All right, perfect. Right.
It's been reported again, and Fabrizio Romano came on this show a couple of weeks ago. And wants business done early again in the transfer window. Reports in the last couple of days are again stating that Spurs are after Conor Gallagher of Chelsea. Feyenoord are interested in Brian Hill. Ondombele, it looks like he will be heading back to Spurs because Galatasaray don't want to sign him, even for as low as 5 million euros. They've turned it down. What do you expect in the summer? What will take Spurs to that next level under Ange again this coming summer, and do you expect it to be like the last couple of windows under Ange, good quality signings and early?
That's what I expect. I mean, I don't think they're, you know, going to spend $100 million on anybody as much as I would love for them to have a signing like that. I don't think that's basically what they do. But, you know, if you can find, a striker that is the quality or the price of a Mickey van der Ven, I know obviously he plays a different position, but just that type of signing. You know, where you get a guy and you go, okay, he seems to be pretty good. And then when he gets to the Premier League, you're like, wow, he has the opportunity to be one of the best. I think that's what Spurs like to do. They like to find young players with tons of potential. And I expect them to kind of stick to that script.
Ricky, did you hear the question?
No, I just missed it, bro. Sorry.
It was about Ange Postecoglou wants business done early again in the summer window. There's talk again about Conor Gallagher. What do you think of him? Brian Hill possibly off to Feyenoord. Tongan Ndombele coming back to Spurs. What will happen to him? What do you expect and what do you kind of demand as a fan about the summer window? What do you think will happen?
With Ndombele, I think it's a really sad situation. I tried to stick up for him and I tried to have his back for the longest of times. But the fact that he's had a couple of loans now, gone to Galatasaray, can't get a starting spot. They didn't want to take up the 15 million euro option. So we've offered them 5 mil and they're still like, nah. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a really sad indictment of where he is as a player and where his future is at. I don't want to say that Timo Werner's the same, but it's a similar situation in the sense of if he's not fitting with our system and if he's not going to kind of step up to the plate, then whether it's 15 million or 50 million or 5 million, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same what's happening with Ndombele there. I feel that we're going to have to almost pay him off and let him go on a free somewhere. Conor Gallagher... To tell you the truth, and this is just me being a Tottenham fan and being biased, is that I don't really want to help Chelsea out of their coefficient. If Ange feels that he's the man to come in and do the job, then I'll back Ange all day long. But I wouldn't really like to help Chelsea out at the present time. I like the idea that they want to get their business done early. Yeah, I think that is, you know, it's something that all of us fans have wanted many a season. Because the longer that they've got to work with a manager, especially during pre-season, the better that they start the season and the better prepared they are for the season. For me, I demand that the club back Ange and get him who he needs, where he needs, at the level that he needs to take not only his team but our team forward, and for us to challenge for those, for the things that we want to challenge for all of the honours. For me, I think we need a striker. I think we need a proper number nine up there. I think we do need another winger, and I think we need a monster number six, really. Somebody who can really help that defence and help on the counter-attack when we're countered attacked against, do you know what I mean? So, that's what I'd go for. I'd go for three big players that can come into that first 11 and make a difference. So that's what I would kind of want. But whoever that may be, I'll leave that up to Ange, and I'll leave it up to the scouting department, because they have been doing a really good job lately. So they know who they want. Let them go and get them.
Yeah. Well said. I think since Ange has been here, he's certainly progressed the club and shown ambition in both windows. And hopefully we can continue that and move on another step in the summer. Just before we go, I would just like to say a big thank you to everybody listening and watching. We have now been the number one football podcast in South Korea for 4 weeks running, which is unbelievable. Wow. Also number one in Finland and Singapore, and also number two in Colombia and Thailand. So thank you very much for all of your support. Emma, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back. I know it's always very difficult to talk about a defeat. I'm always so pleased when the guests do turn up when we've been beaten so heavily like this. So thank you so much for that.
No problem.
How was your holiday, by the way?
Oh, it was great. It was great. It's funny. It was our first time ever taking the family to Disney World. And my boys are older. My oldest is 20. My youngest is 17. Very close to being an empty nester now, with my youngest going to play college football in Kentucky. So we went to one time we wanted to go to Disney World. And the trip ended with my youngest getting food poisoning and throwing up all over the place, and my oldest losing his ID. So we spent forever at the airport. It was fun until the end.
Always a story. Well, Emma, where can people find you, and what can people expect in the near future from you?
Yeah, you can always find me on any social media platform at eGoldie80, ESPN Radio, Monday through Wednesday, late nights. And then coming up soon, you can also hear me on the weekends as well. So ESPN.com, you can always find a way to listen there. And again, I'm tweeting about Spurs all the time. So let's chat.
Emma might not know the phone number, but he will definitely be presented.
That's right.
Ricky, thanks so much as always. Where can people find you, and what are you up to at the moment?
Everybody knows where they can find. They can find me on X at Ricky J Norwood, on Instagram, official Ricky Norwood. And just keeping busy, auditioning, doing the damn thing. But you know what, on Emmett's holiday, before he went to Disneyland, he had hair. And by the time he came back, he just, that was it. After the food poisoning and the ID, that's it, it went.
And no more money either.
Oh my gosh, bloody hell. Oh, it's been great to be on with you again. It's been a long while, so it's been great to be on with you. Even though it was a poor result today, it's always good to come on and just kind of lay it all out, and let's get on with our weekend with a little bit of a smile on our face. We won't watch Match of the Day, and we won't watch no highlights on YouTube of today's game. There was no football today, by the way, to all of the football fans, so you don't have to watch anything. Turn your radios off, turn your Sky Sports off. It's absolutely fine. There's UFC later on tonight, so watch that instead. And just have a great weekend. Always an honour and a pleasure to be on, my friend.
Well said, Ricky, and thank you so much for your time this evening. And Emmett, thank you so much. And Josh, thank you so much. And thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a good couple of weeks, and we will see you soon. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on.
Away
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.